I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
good afternoon and welcome to Susie Larson Live. Hi there, I'm Erin Ekstrand and I have the privilege of filling in for Susie today. And I'm honestly almost giddy about our conversation today and our guest. Again, when it was figured out that I was going to be filling in for Susie today a number of weeks ago, our producers were gracious to ask me, you know, is there someone that you would like to talk with? And our guest today was absolutely one of the first people that came to mind because of the impact that her writings have had in my life over the past year. I feel like we're really good friends already because I've been reading now three books that our guest has written. And I really was first exposed to her and heard about her through Faith Radio, talking with Susie and later with Bill Arnold. And as I heard their conversations, I said, all right, I need to get this gal's book. She's talking my language. And started with a book that she's written called Seated with Christ, a powerful look at Ephesians 2 and our identity as having being seated with Christ and the outflowing of understanding where we are seated with him and the good works that he has planned specifically for us to do. And I was so touched by that book. I had the chance to study that as part of a women's small group at my church. And we so loved and were transformed by that we said, has she written anything else? And absolutely she has. So we started another book that she's written called Guarded by Christ, which really just fills you with such a love and appreciation for our Savior and the way that he guards us and protects us. And then we said, all right, we're done with this one. What's next? And that is the book that we read most recently that we're going to talk about today. And it's called Chosen for Christ. And before we dive into the conversation, I want to give you a little taste of what we're going to be talking about today. I want to ask if this resonates with you. Our guest writes, I'm tired of being ignored, passed over, and uncertain of my future. I'm mocked by my collection of rejection letters, of wedding invitations to everyone else's fairy tale, of promotions not granted and prizes never awarded. It's always the other girl chosen, not me. Now I'm growing older and accumulating more and more rejection and uncertainty. If only I were chosen every once in a while, how different life would feel if someone chose me, if I were the special favored one just once in my ordinary life. Does that resonate with you? Have you ever felt like that? I think all of us at some point have struggled with that feeling of being chosen, of wanting that. And our guest today says there is a different way to live, and the reality is that we have been chosen. We've been chosen by and for a Savior who has given his life for us, who treasures us, who orchestrates every detail of our lives. And there is such freedom and there's such purpose when we can live into that chosenness. Listen to this. She says, living a chosen life sets us free from the need to find validation anywhere else but in God. Even when everyone else gains attention or awards, we don't need anyone else or any experience to make us feel valued or special or valued. And we're set free to settle into our lives because we believe God chose us for the life we're living. Doesn't that freedom sound amazing? Well, we're going to talk about that today. Let me introduce our guest so we can get this conversation going. Dr. Heather Holloman is a popular speaker, author, and college instructor. Along with teaching, she serves on the staff of Faculty Commons with CRU, which is formerly called Campus Crusade for Christ, and helps direct the graduate student ministry at Penn State University. In addition to her full speaking schedule, Heather also writes daily inspirational material that reaches thousands through social media on her blog, Live with Flair, and is slowly making her way through seminary classes in the suburbs. She lives in Pennsylvania with her husband, Ashley, and their two daughters. Heather, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, I am so excited, Erin. I just love listening to how you were speaking already. I was like, I want to keep listening to how she's teaching right now. That was so kind. Yes, oh. I love everything you said. I was like, yes, I feel that way.
Yes, we all do, don't we? And I can't wait to dive into that. But before we do, I know that Susie has this beautiful tradition, and it's really something I want to uphold, and that's starting this program with scripture. And so I'm wondering if there is a particular verse, whether it's a life verse or something that just you've been chewing on that think is really pertinent to today's conversation that you'd like to share.
Yes, absolutely. It's from 1 Peter 2:9, and this is a verse that has really brought a lot of comfort and joy to my soul, the last 2 years in particular. And Peter is writing this to provide comfort and encouragement to scattered and depressed Christians, you know, that are under persecution and, you know, they're not feeling very well. And this is what Peter writes. He said, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who brought you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Mm. I just love that verse. It tells me everything I need to know about God and myself. Mm-hmm. I just love it.
Amen. Well, that's why we asked that question. And I know we're going to unpack that even more as we talk today. You know, he talks about right at the beginning of that verse, that idea of being chosen. And yeah. And I know that this book, along with your other books, really comes out of questions and struggles that you have in your own life. And they usually center around a verb, which I think is awesome as an English professor. And this book really centered around that idea of chosen or chose. And you are always so vulnerable and honest about your own struggles. And you shared, you know, your own struggle with feeling chosen. And it seems like so many of us struggle with not feeling chosen at some point in our life, whether it's being chosen for the kickball team at recess or being asked to prom or receiving that award or that promotion. Why do you think that's such a struggle?
Well, I feel, you know, as I got older, I was surprised that I just kept waiting for something to happen to me to finally make life wonderful, this idea that I would be special and noticed. And even after I wrote Seated with Christ, which really solved the problem of jealousy and comparison, that book was really about setting me free to live the life God had planned for me. But there was still this ache inside of me every time someone else got an award or a promotion or, you know, and I was just living in, you know, rejection still, you know, as I was approaching my mid-40s. And so I was walking around my neighborhood one day and I thought, what, you know, I was just talking to the Lord. It was snowing. And I said, "Lord, what am I missing? Why am I still struggling with this? Why am I still waiting for this thing? I'm still that little girl wanting to be picked." And, that chosen feeling, I think, is one of the most it's the most sustained longing in the human heart. I think everyone you talk to longs for that feeling of being special and chosen. So as I was going through the scripture, you know, Ephesians is my favorite book of the Bible, and I was back to Ephesians, and then I read Ephesians 1, and I just noticed that verb chose, that God chose us before the creation of the world, that we're chosen according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. And I just kept looking at that verb like, well, God, that's so beautiful. You chose me. You know, and I remember Jesus saying in John 15, "I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit." And then again, you know, I just quoted 1 Peter 2:9, that idea of being a chosen people. That verb really began to shift my heart a little bit to say, wait, I've already been chosen by the one my heart is longing for. He has already chosen me, sort of just like being seated with Christ. I'm already seated at the greatest table with the greatest king. So that began to unlock a real, you know, kind of like that door that I've been knocking on my whole life opened. And I was like, okay, I'm here. Jesus, you chose me.
Yes. Well, I am so looking forward to unpacking this more. We're going to take a break, but I love that idea of being chosen. And you go deeply into that and you say, we're just not chosen, but we're actually chosen for a person. And I'm looking forward. We're going to unpack that in just a minute. My name is Erin Ekstrand. I'm filling in for Susie today, and I have the privilege of talking with Heather Holloman. We're talking about her book, Chosen for Christ. And I'm really excited. Heather and our friends at Moody Publishing have given us 6 copies of this book to give away, and would love to include you in that drawing. You can do that by texting the word book, B-O-O-K, to 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. We'll be right back. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am a child of God. Oh, such good words and such powerful truths. That's what we're talking about today. Welcome to Suzy Larson Live. My name is Erin Ekstrand, and I have the privilege of filling in for Suzy today. And I'm so excited to be talking with our guest, Heather Holloman, the author of the book Chosen for Christ, and that just that reality of being chosen. Heather, you said you were looking into that word and that concept of being chosen. And as you delve deeper, you found that we weren't just chosen for ourselves, but we were actually chosen for Christ. And that unleashed something, it unlocked something in us, doesn't it?
Well, yes. And it was really surprising, Erin, because I found a tiny little word in Colossians 1 that I just could not stop thinking about. And if you read Colossians 1, it's talking about Jesus. It's a beautiful passage to memorize, by the way, because it talks about the supremacy of Christ, but it says the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. You know, I'm reading this, and then I get to this line, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. And then here's the line, all things have been created through him, that's Jesus, and for him. And I got so excited when I looked at that and I said, Jesus, I've been created for you. I exist for you. And it just changed my, you know, I can be a self-absorbed woman. I don't know how many listeners can agree. You know, I can really focus on myself. And even as a
my hand is up in the air right now, by the way.
Yeah. Even as a Christian, everything about my life was about my perfect life plan and God doing this, God doing that, and all the things I wanted from the Lord. And then as I was looking at Colossians 1 and thinking of my new chosen identity, I wrote in my journal, I'm chosen for a person, not a plan. Do you love that? And it was so convicting. And then guess, I was sitting in the bubble bath. Don't you love that I tell you all the private details of my life?
I was do, because I bubble can picture your home, by the way, as, as I read your book.
I was in the bubble bath, and I was asking the Lord, can you show me more? You know, why am I doing this? How do I know? How can I make my life more about belonging to you, Jesus, and intimacy with you, which actually leads to the first invitation to a chosen life, which is worship. But I was asking the Lord, you know, why do I do this? Why is everything about my plan? And I forget you. And do you know what came to mind was that old episode of I Love Lucy, which is the most watched episode. If you had a television in your home in the 1950s, you were watching this episode of I Love Lucy, and it's the episode where Lucy goes into labor. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, okay, why do we do this? Now, in that episode, Lucy's about to have a baby, but Fred, Ethel, and Ricky are rehearsing the perfect plan for when she goes into labor. They rehearse it three times. They know everything they're going to do, who's going to call, who's going to get the car, who's going to get the suitcase when Lucy goes into labor. They go into such a panic that they grab everything, they do everything, and they run out the door to the hospital without her. And they leave her behind. And they actually push her behind the door. And when Ricky comes back in, he says, you know, Lucy, where are you? This is no time to be playing games. And I just got that image in my mind that I do that with Jesus all the time. I am focused on my plans. I get everything in line, and I'm just pushing him behind the door. I run out the door without him. And so being chosen for a person is really about thinking about him and not so much my life circumstances, how hard things are, why my plan isn't working out. I'm chosen for him. All things have been created through him and for him. So then my heart explodes in worship because I'm having this intimacy with Jesus where I say, I belong to you. I've offered my body as a living sacrifice. That's Romans 12. Galatians 2 says I'm crucified with Christ. So I just, it's so glorious because I'm like, Jesus, my whole life belongs to you. I exist for you. So everything else is just icing on the cake. And now I just worship you wherever I am.
Amen. And there is such freedom in that, isn't there? You know, I love the way that you give the metaphor too. As you're talking about being chosen for a person, you talk about marriage and you talk about your own marriage to Ashley, but then similar message in that we're giving our lives to Jesus. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because I think it's so helpful.
Yes. I wrote in that chapter about you know, when you stand at the altar and you pledge yourself to a person, not a plan. And what was really poignant about that for me is when I, you know, said I do. I know I'm going to tell you all my personal private life, Erin. Don't you love? I mean, I don't share this with everyone. And here we are. You're listening to Men Radio.
Yay.
Well, as soon as we got married, every single plan we had fell apart. We had an unplanned pregnancy 5 years too early after we got married. Our birth control did not work. Number two, I know you're like, you can't say that on the radio. Number two, I was diagnosed with a clinical debilitating depression and anxiety that essentially stole my life for 6 years. We changed our calling. I was going to be a professor. Ash had a PhD. He was getting a PhD in chemistry. I was going to go on the job market with my PhD in English. And we felt called to full-time ministry. So here I am at home with a baby, losing my mind. We have no money and we're trying to follow God into ministry. And I think I looked at Ashley and I was like, nothing we planned. None of the plans are here, except we have each other. We belong to each other. I said, I do to you, not a plan. And I love the marriage imagery because it's in scripture, the idea that we're betrothed to Christ, that we're the bride of Christ. So it just helped me not be so focused on the plans, because it really can become an idol. And I teach college students and I teach professional development and everything is about their life plan.
Yes.
And sometimes I want to say, you know, there is no guarantee. And even now, you know, with the COVID-19 and everything we're going through as a nation and even globally, it is very hard to see the future. And everything feels so uncertain. So every morning I wake up and I think, Jesus, we're here together. I'm seated with you. You chose me for yourself. And thank you that your Holy Spirit is helping me live today, because I can't see what the plans are.
Yes. Amen. Well, I think too, there's a freedom in it. If we can move and transition from thinking that we have to live for a plan, I think of much of my 20s and 30s. If I'm honest, I woke up almost with a sense of dread. And I think it was because I felt like I was missing out on the plan. Like I had missed out on what I was supposed to be doing for God. And this invitation to say it's not about the plan. It's not about the ministry I'm supposed to be doing or the family plan that I thought I was supposed to be living or the career I thought I was supposed to have, but that it's one day at a time abiding in Jesus and trusting him and saying he's the one in charge of figuring out which fruit is supposed to be born out of my life. And he's orchestrating all of that in his sovereignty, in his sovereign and loving care, and that I can let go of having to make that happen. There's a freedom if we can do it. It's hard because we live in a culture, and I'll even dare say even within the Christian culture, to push towards those goals, that calling, that fulfillment. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But what I hear you saying, and feel free to push back if this isn't right, it's saying those missions, those visions need to come out of that foundation of saying, Jesus, I am first and foremost chosen for you. And if we're abiding in him and out of that, there's an overflow and a sense of vision of where he's calling us, then praise God. But we have to keep him at the center first.
Yes. And it seems like a subtle shift, but it's huge in the heart to be able to say, God, I belong to you. My primary, the reason why you called me to yourself has so little to do with this perfect life plan. It has so much more to do with worship and you displaying your power through my life and you conforming me to the image of Christ. But in the book, I do talk about the comfort we see, especially in Isaiah and the Psalms, like one of my, that God is leading us in the plans that he has for us. In Isaiah 48, I love it. And this was so important to me as a college student. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. And then I love Psalm 57:2, when I wanted to drop out of grad school, when I didn't know what was happening, you know, I got married, like I just said, all the plans fall apart. You know, David cries out in Psalm 57, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. Don't you just love that? He's a God who will fulfill the purpose he has for you. And of course, there's that weird verse in Philippians 1:6 that says, not Philippians 1:6, it's actually Philippians 2:13, the one that says that God is at work to will and to act according in you. He's at work in you to will and to act according to his good purpose, which means God is giving you the desire and the ability to fulfill the plans he has for you. It's a strange little verse. Even in the Greek, it's like God is working to make you do what he wants you to do as you trust
yes.
him. I love that.
Yes. He is so good in just leading us and orchestrating every detail and the freedom that we can have if we understand and recognize that chosenness. But the reality is there are some and who would say, and I know that you were at a period of your life as well, and we've got about 3 minutes before a hard break here at the bottom of the hour, so we can pick this up again if we need to. But what would you say to those who say, I just don't feel chosen?
Oh, yes. In fact, when I was writing the book, someone said, could you write a chapter on what if I don't feel chosen? That is an issue of the faith, the fact of your salvation and the faith that you have in the completed work of Christ. I just repeat to myself, nothing can snatch me out of his hand. I know that I've crossed over from death to life. That's John 5:24. And, you know, the Holy Spirit testifies that you're a child of God. So sometimes when I doubt, I do quote 1 John 5, where it says, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. Whoever has the Son has the life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have the life. And I just say to myself, I have the Son. Thank you, God, that you chose me. Even if I do not feel chosen, this is the truth of my salvation. So
yes.
that's what helps me. It's just
yeah.
the scripture.
Anchoring ourselves in those truths and choosing to believe, saying by faith, Lord, I don't feel this, but your word says it. And so faith by faith, I'm going to believe that today, and I'm going to walk forward declaring that this is the truth. And I know you said that over time it changed you. And so love it. Well, we're talking with Dr. Heather Hollerman, author of the book Chosen for Christ. My name is Erin Ekstrand, filling in for Susie today on Susie Larson Live. We do have 6 copies of this book to give away and would love to include you in that draw. You can text the word book, B-O-O-K, to this number, 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. More with Heather in just a moment. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. That is the essence of worship, and that is one of the invitations we have as we choose to step into our identity as being chosen by and for Christ. And that's what we're talking about today with our guest, Heather Hollerman. She is the author of the book, Chosen for Christ. I'm Erin Ekstrand, so thankful to be spending today with you, filling in for Susie on Susie Larson Live. I want to remind you, we do have 6 copies of this book that we are able to give away and would love to include you in that drawing. You can enter that by texting the word book, just singular, no punctuation, B-O-O-K, to 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. And Heather, you talk about when we choose to step into and live in an awareness of our chosenness, there are really 7 invitations we have, and the first of those being to be people of worship. Can you unpack a little bit? What is worship, and why is it so important to our identity as being chosen?
Well, back to the very first verse I shared about being chosen to declare the praises of him who brought us out of darkness. I just got so excited when I thought, God, you chose me for yourself. Now, what am I doing? What am I doing today? And the answer is that he made us to worship him, that the primary invitation of our lives is to worship him. A.W. Tozer, that great Pennsylvania theologian, said that worship is the Christian's full-time occupation.
Yes.
And I love that because I'm someone who loves the, you know, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, that impossible verse about giving thanks in all circumstances, mm-hmm. that it's God's will for us in Christ Jesus to do that. So I really explore what is worship. And one of a simple definition of worship is cultivating an awareness of God's presence and divine activity in our lives all day long. And so one of the ways I learned to do that as someone knowing that I was chosen for Christ and just dwelling in this idea that we're chosen to worship him wherever we are, is I think of it as first is his providential care of my life, that he's chosen me for the exact location where I live. He's providentially arranging the circumstances of my life. You know, we know in Acts 17, he chooses where we live. You know, Daniel 5 says God holds in his hand our life and all our ways. And I just really began to worship God because rather than complaining or living in depression, I was like, wait, God, where I am is not an accident. Something in my life, the things I don't like in my life, are here, something about this is drawing me to your presence, drawing me to need you. There's everything happening is an invitation to worship. And then, you know, I began to worship him for his provision. So not just his providence to lead me to live exactly where I lived in the circumstances of my life, but I love thinking about his provision and how scripture teaches in Philippians 4 that God will meet all of our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And I just began to worship God, you know, as my provider, that he's someone who right now knows what you need and he is working to provide it. And if it's not a physical thing, he never deprives you of what you most need, which is his presence and peace. Mm-hmm. So I just would worship God. If I'm in a terrible situation and he hasn't removed me from that situation, he's still a provider because he's providing his presence and peace, even if he has withheld something that I may think is essential. And then finally, and this is where my gift of evangelism comes in. I worship him because I see the eternal perspective that wherever he has me, he wants me to set my mind on eternal things, which has a lot to do with my identity as being sent by God. You know, Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, now I am sending you. Mm-hmm. And that's all about ministry. You're where you are because someone needs to know Jesus. So even if I'm at the doctor's office, like I was yesterday, I did not want to go to the doctor. I was having a hard time worshiping the Lord in that appointment. And I thought to myself, God, I'm here because someone here needs to know you. That is the eternal perspective. I'm worshiping you in that. And sure enough, I got in the best spiritual conversation with my doctor and was able to talk to her about Jesus and share some scriptures with her. So when you're chosen by God, you know you're chosen for the circumstances of your life, no matter how dire, because you're chosen for Christ and for his eternal purposes there that go far beyond even your own life and your own family. It's really been life-changing, Erin, to just lift my eyes and see eternal things.
Absolutely. I mean, it's been life-changing for me as I've read it and tried to implement even a little bit of what you've experienced. And to be able to, rather than looking at our life and saying, well, this isn't the plan that I was expecting, this isn't the home that I was expecting to live in, maybe the family circumstances, and to be so caught up in thinking I've missed it, but to be able to, as you said, it's a subtle shift, but it's a change of the heart to be able to say, okay, God, I believe that you have me in these places, in these relationships, and it may seem pretty unremarkable to me, but I'm going to believe that you're orchestrating this, and just to have that awareness and say, show me, Lord, where your divine activity is happening. Show me where you are providing, where you are providentially orchestrating things, and where you're calling me to be a part of those eternal things. There's such a delight and such a fulfillment in that. And so I so love that chapter. And yes, I mean, it is our full-time job to worship, and it's the most fulfilling thing when we are truly worshiping and giving glory to God.
Yes. Yeah, and it's all about maturity. I mean, it's how I'm growing. How God is most growing me is to worship him in any situation, to look for him wherever I am, especially with the disappointment of COVID. I've got two teen daughters. This has been really sad for them. But how do we worship God here and honor his sovereignty and thank him for his provision? So, yes, it's about us growing up in the Lord.
Amen. Well, you talk about seven different invitations that we have when we live as we're chosen. And though I would love to talk about all of them, I know we're not going to have the time to cover each of them. But there is another one I think that was just so encouraging, and I want someone to hear today. And that's the invitation to belong to a new family. Can you unpack that a little bit? Because I think there's so much hope and purpose in understanding that.
Well, it's really a beautiful invitation from the Lord that, you know, in Ephesians 2:19, it says you're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household. Now, I've been in ministry for 25 years, Erin, and I can tell you the number of people I talk to who come from terrible home situations, or they're just overcome with loneliness. They don't feel like they belong. And so many times to be able to say to them, when you pray to receive Christ, you entered the family of God. You're part of the new household. And it gets even better. You're a treasured member of that household. You know, you're an heir. You're like the pride, you know, the daughter that gets all the attention. That's you now. But you have this special role. And what I love about belonging to God's household is that when you think of a family, you know, I see myself in any given situation, I can be the grandmother, the mother, the sister, the daughter. In other words, I'm always growing, I'm looking for my mentors, or I'm that mentoring role in the life of a younger believer because I have a role in God's household. And so I love thinking about that, because if you're listening like me, you probably want to ask, well, how can I best serve in my house? How can I best serve? So I love developing spiritual gifts, learning what my best role is, and really trying to develop my role, you know, in the family of God. And in the book, I talk about how I never had a grandma because of my unique family background. I never had grandparents. And it always was a sore spot for me because I just, you know, had this image of me with this, you know, sweet little grandma that loved me and was involved in my life. Well, when my husband
taught you
I
how to sew and cook.
Well, when my husband and I joined a new church, God provided an 86-year-old woman who was just drawn to me. She called me almost every day. She sent me books. If you wonder why I quote A.W. Tozer so much, it's because she has sent me every single one of his books.
Oh,
Erin, she
it.
Would call me. She would call me with her crackly old voice, and she would say, Heather, did you read your Bible today? Do you know how much Jesus loves you? This is what I'm praying for you today. And it was like, I woke up. I said, well, God, I didn't have a grandma, but you have provided one for me. And it made me think, how many people in the family of God are longing for a mother figure? Maybe that's you. Maybe that's me. Yes. And we also get to be daughters with the freedom that, you know, sons and daughters with the freedom of having all the unlimited privileges of being a child of God in that household. So it's just so much to think about when you think, I belong to this new family. Scripture says he sets the lonely in families. And it's also an act of faith. If you feel lonely, like I have so many times in my life, by faith, I say to myself, I'm included in Christ and part of this family. And whether or not I feel it, it is true that I am knit together with the body of believers all over the world. And it's so exciting to feel that belonging.
Amen. Amen. To have that belonging, to have that purpose. You also learned something, and you shared in this chapter, just really something remarkable. You learned about soil and the powerful truth that has for us as being part of the family of God. Can you share that? Because I just think there's someone today who needs to hear that truth.
Well, working at Penn State, I have soil experts in my life. I know that sounds funny, people who are getting PhDs in soil. And what happened was, is I was visiting some older people in my church who, again, were like my grandparents, and they told me that they settled in Pennsylvania because it had the best soil. And I kept thinking about that. What is it about the soil? And it was like the Holy Spirit wanted me to follow that that trail. So I emailed my friend Kelly. She's got a bachelor's degree in soil science, master's in, you know, agronomy is what it's called. And I asked her about good soil and what she meant about Pennsylvania. And I said, what is good soil? And she said something that made me feel so sad, but then hopeful. And she said, underneath any soil, there's a layer of rock. It's called the bedrock or parent material. The reason why it's called the parent material is as that rock breaks down, the soil is formed. But in an earthly sense, whatever your parent material is, that's going to influence who you are. But then I got really sad because she said you cannot change that soil's property. So whatever soil a farmer has, he's stuck with it. So the parent bedrock is always determining the soil. So I felt so sad that Kelly is a Christian. And then she said, but unlike earthly soil, we choose who our rock is. Amen. We have a bedrock that replaces our natural family properties and changes us. And it makes sense because, you know, if you ever wondered why he's called the rock, you know, and you know, Peter also says that God has redeemed us from the empty way of life handed down to us. And that matters a lot. You've been given a new foundation. You are becoming a new person. You've got new soil in this family of God.
Mm-hmm. Love it. We are built upon the rock. There is such hope in that. And no matter what the background, and all of us have the background of sin, right? But we are now in this new family. We are built upon the rock and the foundation of Christ. And that is what we grow from together. Oh, loving this conversation with Heather Holloman. She is the author of Chosen for Christ. We've got 6 copies of this book to give away. Would love to get one in your hands. You can be a part of the drawing by texting the word book, BOOK, to 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. When you come back, Heather, I know that you've mentioned you're a parent of 2 teenage daughters, and not only are we trying to understand and live into our own chosenness, but as parents, trying to help our children understand what it means for them to be chosen as well. And I'd love to hear what that's looked like for you and your husband, Ashley, as you've tried to help your daughters live into that as well. We'll be back with Heather Holloman in just a moment.
Him who sits on
Lord, you are our everything. We have been chosen for you, our lives are for you. And there is a freedom, there is a joy in living in that worship and that understanding that he has orchestrated every detail of our life. We're talking about that sense of being chosen for Christ today. Our guest is Dr. Heather Holloman, and her book is Chosen for Christ. My name is Erin Ekstrand. I have the privilege of filling in for Susie. And we do have 6 copies of this book that we'll be giving away. Would love to include you in that drawing. Again, text the word book to 877-933-2484. Heather, just before the break, I mentioned, I would love to hear from you. You allude to it a little bit in your book, give some examples. As we are seeking to understand and live out of our chosenness ourselves, we who are parents also just see that the message that we are not chosen is bombarding our kids so much today. And I think with technology and social media, it's coming even faster and at more frequency than it has in ages past. How have you and Ashley sought to try to help your girls understand and live out their identity as being chosen for Christ?
Well, the first, it really begins with them understanding that they're seated with Christ. They're already at the best table because everyone knows in middle school, you don't get to sit at the popular table and the wound sticks with you forever. But we really spend a lot of time just sharing our own journey with our girls and how God has been teaching, you know, whatever I struggle with, the girls see, they see how the Lord is working. But I would say with their chosen identity, the most important thing we have found with teens is really helping them understand God's love for them. The second invitation in the book is that we live as we're God's treasured possession.
Yes.
And really teaching children, you know, God loves you with an everlasting love. He is abounding in love. I mean, Kate and I were just on a walk before this radio call, and she is having a really, you know, boring day. There's nothing to do. We're socially isolating. This is not the summer that she wanted. And I said, you know, Scripture says that God richly provides all things for our enjoyment. Let's ask God. Let's go to Him and ask Him for what we need. And so for years, we've been cultivating a very specific, you know, detailed prayer journal, going to God with what we need. It's rooted in Psalm 5:3, where David says, "In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation." Mm-hmm. So I'm able to say to the girls, God is your ever-present help in time of need. He wants to display His power in your life and treat you as your treasured possession. And a lot of times people stray away from teaching about this overwhelming goodness of God because I think they're afraid of prosperity gospel, or they're afraid of, like, you know, getting people's hopes up. But I quote to my girls, you know, Jeremiah 32, the way we understand God is it says He never stops doing good to you. Romans 10, which I just underlined this a couple days ago in my quiet time, it says He richly blesses all who call on Him.
Yes.
Psalm 103, He satisfies your desires with good things. And then when I was coming out of struggling with so many years of depression, you know, which my girls know about, I love Psalm 35, where it says God delights in our well-being. And those promises are so important for young people to know. This is the God we serve. You know, this is who He is. He wants to meet your needs. He wants you to go to Him, and He wants you to go to Him with all the questions, all the things that are hard in your life. Just go to Him. I mean, that's probably the way we cultivate their chosen identity, is just Jesus is with you. Go to Him. Talk to Him. He, you know, the New Testament, you read Jesus saying all the time, you know, you have not because you ask not, and or that anything you ask in His name, you know, He will do. But the other thing, if you're listening and you're like, you know, so many bad things have happened to, you know, my family, how do we handle that? One of our family mottos, and you may think this is fun, is every rejection is God's protection. Because of His sovereignty, we're able to see when they live in rejection, we're able to see sometimes months or years later, you know, that party they weren't invited to ended up being a disaster, or that opportunity that they didn't get the invitation to ended up being massive protection for their life. I love that. So whenever they're experiencing rejection, we laugh about the family motto. And I'm like, look, God is sovereign over your life. Every rejection is God's protection. You know, my daughter's tweeting that, you know, hashtag, you know, because they really, you really have to trust just the goodness of God. And because of my own journey early in my marriage and early in my parenting, some of the things I'm learning now as an older woman are like the psalmist in Psalm 119. Listen to this verse. He says, it was good for me to be afflicted so I would learn your word. And sometimes I say to the girls, you know, maybe God has us here because He wants us to go deeper in His word and deeper in our faith. The same psalmist says, my comfort in suffering is this, your word, you know, brings joy to my soul. So those are some of the things we do. We do keep a prayer, a family prayer journal. We got it out last night. And these are for big things that only God can do. And that way, I write about this in the book, that way we have what are called stones of remembrance, just like the Israelites, you know, crossing the Jordan. So we do that. And those are things we do just to help remind them, you know, God loves you. He's working on your behalf. You can trust Him. So that's what we do. I'm not a perfect parent, but I do invite them into my own struggles with the Lord. And I think they can see the authenticity of that. Teens do not like hypocrisy. They do not like fake. So if you're struggling with the Lord, you know, don't be afraid to tell your kids, this is really hard. I'm having a hard time trusting God here. Let's pray together about this. So
Oh, I love that. So much wisdom in all of that. Just the authenticity and that every rejection is God's protection. I think someone needed to hear that today. And just that perspective shift of being able to hold on to that and reframe some of those pains that we experience in all of our lives, but particularly for teenagers, that can be so hard. So thank you. Thank you for that. We just have a few minutes left, Heather, and I'm just wondering, you know, I'm just thinking about that person who might be listening to this today to say, you know, I love this conversation. I love this idea of being chosen. But honestly, if I look at my life and if I'm going to say that God's chosen me, I would say that he's chosen me to have a miserable life. I'm weary. Yep. I'm tired. What kind of encouragement do you have for that sweet friend who's listening today?
Well, my encouragement is to go to the Lord and tell him how you feel. That's the best thing. Remember, you're chosen for Christ. Ask him to open your eyes, to give you the spirit of revelation, to see what he sees in your circumstances. That sometimes helps me. And sometimes the source of why I'm miserable is because I don't know how to see divine activity where I am. I don't know how to see an eternal perspective. So I just am honest with him. And then the other thing is, don't be afraid to just open your Bible and spend as long as it takes until you feel the Holy Spirit ministering to your soul. The psalm I quoted was Psalm 119, "My comfort in suffering is this, your word revives my soul." So right where you are, God has invitations for you in whatever the terrible circumstance is. He wants to display his power there, and he may be using the circumstance to make you more like Jesus. There's a chapter in the book that says, you know, Jesus really did suffer. He served. He took on the nature of a servant. And sometimes when I'm having a really hard time, I'm like, well, I'm participating in the sufferings of Christ here. Could you meet me, Jesus? Help me. Give me everything I need. So I hope that encourages the listeners just to keep persevering with the Lord. And talking to him, his presence and peace are what we need in any circumstance.
Amen. I had a conversation yesterday, and we just got a minute or so, but wanted to share it with a gentleman talking about the art of crying out and the art of lament, and how being able to do that and come to God with lament, with our hurts, and going to some of those psalms that are a way of saying, God, this is what's hard, but ultimately bring us to that place where what we recognize we need most is what you've talked about, that presence. He is so good, and he gives us what we truly need, which is his presence and his peace. So thank you. Thank you for that. Heather, this has been such an amazing conversation. I wish we could talk for hours and hours, but we do have a clock, but I do just want to let you know, this is Dr. Heather Hollerman. Her book is Chosen for Christ. We do have copies of the book that we'd love to get in your hand. You can be a part of that drawing by texting the word book to 877-933-2484. If you didn't get to hear the whole broadcast, the podcast will be up on the website, myfaithradio.com, in just a little bit. And Heather, again, thank you on my behalf. And I already got a text from one of the friends in my small group just wanting to say thank you for just listening to the call that God has placed on your life and letting him speak through you, because it's truly transforming a lot of lives.
Oh, well, thank you for this interview time. Mm-hmm. I love spending time with you, Erin.
Oh, thank you so much. Blessings to you and in your ministry. And I just want to say thank you to our producers, Kim Sanders and Ryan Mitchell. And we're just so thankful you were with us today, friend. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.